This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He puts it himself. Put him back and forth. Oh! He broke his ankle. He is Houdini. Touchdown. Patrick Mahomes with a rope. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast, presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are back for part two of our mock draft extravaganza here. And if you're just joining us for the first time, we would highly suggest that you go back to our previous episode and listen to our picks for 1 through 8 in our mock draft. And the rules, again, just to repeat them, we are alternating picks. Dylan won the coin toss, got the first pick, and no surprise, selected Joe Burrow with the pick for the Bengals, and we have alternated picks from there. So we are basically in the draft rooms for these teams, making our selections. And Dylan, as we were laughing about before we started this podcast, I think our preparation for this podcast probably would have been a wild and crazy episode of its own, with you and I trying to figure out potential trade opportunities here and what could be the wildest part of the draft when it comes to trades with these 9 through 16 picks.
Yeah, we've already done two trades. I know we said we were only going to do a max of three. Now that number might be four, we've already agreed to our third trade coming up here. But yeah, we'll discuss our whole thought process. As Blake mentioned, we probably should have started recording so we could have thrown in a couple of our negotiations or how, you know, looking into the mind from each team all at once, what they're really thinking, you know, what the capital they have to give up, and ultimately why we made the trade that we did, and how it works out for everyone. But yeah, it definitely, I will say we started with one team trading up and then we switched it around. So, I mean, it seems like at this point, like you said, going into the draft, no matter, you know, what actually happens, obviously we're having some fun here just thinking about what could happen. But we can feel fairly confident that there's going to be some movement at this point. And the theme of this episode will definitely be wide receiver and offensive tackle.
Yep, it will for sure. And just as a teaser, as we said, if we left off with number 8 pick, but it wasn't the team that was originally there to start the draft. So if you want to go back and find out who was the team that made the number 8 selection, go back, listen to that previous episode of the podcast, and just go ahead and subscribe while you're at it, because we're going to do this in 4 parts as we lead up to the draft. And again, this is part 2 of our mock draft, and we will get things started, Dylan, with your pick, number 9, with the Jacksonville Jaguars on the board.
Yeah, the calm before the storm here with the all the drama that's about to come up. But with the Jaguars, we've talked a lot about how this team is clearly just, you know, rebuilding from the top down, really stripped, apart their roster. It's compared to where they were a few years ago when they made the AFC title game. It's almost unrecognizable. So in terms of what you could think of, there's all these offensive tackles we're mentioning that are available that could fit. The one big thing for the Jaguars, I still think they want to look on the defensive side of the ball here. We talked a bit before the podcast about how they finished 31st in defensive DVOA against the run. If you can't, I mean, overall in the NFL, if you can't stop the run, that's a problem. But in a division with Derrick Henry, now you add David Johnson to the Texans. There's some interesting things there. I still think they have a long way to go. So there's a number of different guys that could target here. I look at their pick later in the first round where maybe there's still one of the better corners available. So at number 9, I'm going to go here with Javon Kinlaw from Auburn, just beefy, huge defensive tackle that can really plug up the holes and at least take them from one of the worst run defenses in the NFL to at least probably, you know, in the 20 range, hopefully, this first season. But I think Kinlaw will quickly fit right in there, and I don't think it'll be too big of a problem. If Derrick Brown had been available, maybe they would have, you know, had him a bit higher in their list. But In our previous episode, Derek Brown went to the Panthers at number 7. So, yeah, we'll go with Kinlaw here to the Jags at 9.
Yep, two of the best linemen in the SEC last season. As you said, we've already got Derek Brown off the board from Auburn, Javon Kinlaw. What a great career. South Carolina with the Gamecocks, and no surprise.
Yeah, mix those schools up just now.
Yeah, it's fine. But again, the SEC, as we know, it doesn't matter. Just attach a school to these guys, and we know there's going to be a lot of SEC players that are going to go in the top portion of the draft. But, yeah, you look at Kinlaw, we mentioned his backstory too. Just a great backstory. Started off homeless and now about to get a big payday in the NFL with one of these teams. And that seems to be, the common theme is that he could wind up with the Jags. Potentially, I don't really know if you look ahead, if anyone else above this spot would consider it, again, minus any trades. This is the one that seems to be getting a lot of attention, just like Derek Brown to the Panthers. It seems like these are the two spots where you're going to see these two impressive defensive tackles wind up. And as you teased, Dylan, this was the calm before the storm in our edition of the mock draft, because we have another trade. Look at this, back-to-back picks for me. Just trading all of, I'm just wheeling and dealing and trying to get all kinds of trades here. But we do have another trade at number 10. And first off, we'll start with why we made this trade. And I think even before I make our pick here, Dylan, we're going to go back and forth on this, because we put a lot of thought into this. And we kept looking at it, because here's the thing. We know pretty much these next spots that are coming up in the draft are going to be defined by wide receivers and offensive tackles. Like, that's going to be your run here. You know, every draft we have a run on a certain position. This is where it comes, I think, right through here, where you're going to see offensive tackles, wide receivers. They're going to be a lot of these guys off the board, probably in this 10 to 15 type of range. So we looked at it and said, okay, the Cleveland Browns are the team that is supposed to be here making their pick at number 10. We know the Browns more likely to take an offensive lineman than they are a wide receiver, but knowing the teams that are behind them with the Jets and the Raiders, there are also a couple teams behind them that are trying to snag one of these wide receivers. And so, Dylan, ultimately we went back and forth on this. We actually started this conversation with looking at a team like the Cowboys. They're at 17, and what would they be able to do to trade up? We looked at what they had. Honestly, could be a little tougher for the Cowboys to trade up because they may not have, you know, the draft capital and all that to make this move with the Browns. So then we went to the next team, and we had settled on the Denver Broncos being the team that was going to trade up to number 10. Well, we went back and forth on that. The Broncos do, you know, I think have some ammunition there to be able to move up to this spot, and as we talked about, we wouldn't be surprised to see that. But ultimately, we wound up putting the San Francisco 49ers here at number 10 with the trade with the Browns. And, Dylan, there was a lot that went into this. And the reason why we went with the Niners is because they want one of these top wide receivers. I think we know that. And so we have traded the Niners up to the number 10 spot with the Browns. We're going to move back to 13. And with the pick for the Niners, I'm going to take one of those three wide receivers that are being talked about the most, and maybe taking the one that people expect to go behind the other two, and selecting Henry Ruggs from Alabama. I think that may be a surprise for some people, because a lot of people expect Jerry Jeudy to be the first Alabama wide receiver off the board. But we've talked about on the podcast before, these two guys, a lot of speed. They're great at what they do, and I don't think anyone could go wrong with either one of them. The speed for Ruggs, I think, is something that could be very valuable to the 49ers, and that's why I think they maybe beat the Broncos to move up to number 10 to grab him.
Yeah, we looked at it, you know, thinking from the point of view of both the Broncos and the Niners at the same time, simultaneously, what they're looking at. The Broncos have, you know, they have a lot of third-round picks. They have some different things that can offer to move up, but the Niners – We felt like the Broncos would feel okay still at 15,
yep.
Getting one of the offensive tackles that's still available. Whereas the Niners, we look at a scenario where possibly the three receivers go in a row here. They're sitting at 13, and then what do they do? Ultimately, that sense of urgency with where they are right now as a franchise, a team that has done so well in terms of acquiring draft capital, building with really sound draft strategy, but not a team that usually trades up. They've but in this case, we thought it made sense. from their point of view. And, yeah, Henry Ruggs fits really well into Kyle Shanahan's offense. It makes a lot of sense. And for the Browns, from their point of view in terms of this whole trade and why they're so willing to move back, I mean, they know even if the Jets at the next pick took offensive lineman or offensive tackle, there's still so many great options there. They get the extra first-round pick. And really for them, I mean, at this point, they're still going to be winning with whoever they get. So it made sense for both sides. And the Niners probably don't need that 31st overall pick as much as the Browns, but obviously they could have used it. But in this case, they couldn't mess around. So, yeah, it made sense after we talked through the whole thing for them to beat Denver to that number 10 pick and ultimately take Ruggs.
Yep, Ruggs with that 4.27 at the combine. And as we said, I think the Niners were the team that had more to lose here than the Broncos, because the Broncos staying put, they're still going to probably get a very good pick, and one of their needs is going to be addressed there with the Niners. I think they're zoned in probably on receiver, and so, you know, it probably wouldn't have been there, I think, if they would have stayed back. But you never know. Again, we don't know. And if they would have, they may have been in a spot where they would have took maybe, you know, the third choice that they had of those receivers instead of their first choice. So they move up, grab Henry Ruggs in our mock draft here, and as we said, trade away that number 31 pick. That takes us to the number 11 pick, Dylan, with the New York Jets. So we mentioned some possibilities for them maybe to move up, but we are going to pick the Jets to stay put here at number 11, and they are going to select.
Yes, I will. I did think about offensive linemen and offensive tackle, too, for them here, despite the receivers that are still available. I think the fact that with Jerry Jeudy's still there, I don't think they're going to pass on him. As much as the Jets need help on their offensive line, their receiving corps are just not – they're just not premier by any means. I don't think you want – you know, Breshad Perryman's improved, absolutely. Jameson Crabtree is a solid receiver, but these guys aren't front of the line talents that you really want to lead your squad, especially now with the Jets, the Patriots, with Tom Brady gone. What are you trying to do here? It's year three with Sam Darnold. We know how valuable the rookie quarterback contracts are. The Jets won some games down the stretch last year. Regardless of our questions overall, the team, they still have, you know, some talent. And in this case, it just made too much sense not to pass on Jeudy. They can still figure out, you know, beefing up their offensive line otherwise. But Jerry Jeudy is just such a next level talent that, at least for me, I know leading into the our mock draft to talk just how, in my mind, he kind of stood, even with Ruggs being as talented as he is, and we're going to get to another receiver, I believe, pretty shortly here. But for me, Jerry Jeudy is just a kind of guy that you just can't take your eyes off of. And for the Jets in New York, I think with Sam Darnold, it's going to be a huge weapon for him. Now protecting Sam Darnold, again, it's that I really went back and forth, you know, thinking about this initially. But as we discussed, you know, what was going to happen at number 10, Jeudy was just too good. I think too good of a guy here for the Jets to pass on.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we mentioned, like, some of those teams behind him. You know, how much do the Raiders love him? How much do the Niners love him? You know, would they take him, let's say, in that scenario if they traded up to number 10? And that's what I'm saying. I think you look at some of the scout stuff. I don't know how much really separates these three receivers. And as you said, we'll get to the other one here in a second. And this is always the fun part of it, because we don't know exactly what's going to separate these three. Probably fit's going to be one of the most important things in terms of maybe, you know, who they're catching the ball from. It's going to make a big difference right out of the gate. But, yeah, I don't know what's going to separate these receivers. But if you're the Jets, knowing that, you know, you need a really good receiver to add to the mix and you're trying to rebuild things on offense, Jerry Jeudy makes a lot of sense for the Jets. Well, no reason to have any suspense with this next one. The Raiders are on the board with the number 12 pick. We mentioned, you know, potentially some trade possibilities for the Raiders. I think there's a scenario where even if the other wide receiver is on the board here, they could potentially trade down if, let's say, they prefer the other two ahead of them. But we don't know exactly what that would look like for the Raiders. So we'll keep it simple here. And the Las Vegas Raiders, I almost said the Oakland Raiders, will select CeeDee Lamb with the number 12 pick here. As we said, no surprise probably to see three receivers go consecutively in this part of the draft if, you know, we have the trade up here that we expect. But either way, even if the Niners stay at 13, I think you would still get three receivers in a row here, probably with the Jets, Raiders, and Niners in some form or fashion. So, you know, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, as we said, I mean, he's just someone that, you know, Raiders need a playmaker, right? They need someone to add in on offense. Tyrell Williams, you know, I mean, I think when he came in, I mean, look, he played very well at times with the Chargers, but you still need more weapons on that offense. Darren Waller emerged. We know they have Josh Jacobs in the backfield. Quarterback situation, who knows, with Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota now. But CeeDee Lamb seems to be the safest pick for the Raiders if they stay at number 12.
Yeah, it makes sense from a lot of different points of view for them. I did, kind of think if I had been here, maybe I would have thought about still a corner or a different position just because they have that number 19 pick. And but even then, with what we talked about with what the Cowboys and Broncos might want, I don't know if T. Higgins will still be there at 19. We've seen the Raiders take him in a number of mocks at 19. So in this point of view, they're going to be happy with CeeDee Lamb. I don't think they're unlike the Niners, where we really saw Ruggs fitting so well into what they want to do. I don't think the Raiders were as picky necessarily. And as they move to Las Vegas, I mean, getting another really big weapon. Whenever I hear CeeDee Lamb's name, I just hear Gus Johnson calling an Oklahoma game in my mind, just making so many big plays for the Sooners over the years. Another guy that was you're watching the game and it looks like he's on a different level out there sometimes in terms of his, and underrated really with his burst and his acceleration sometimes too. So, I mean, these guys are all, I mean, there's a reason that we talked about the receiver being such a premier, there's so many premier receivers in this draft, what it did to suppressing the free agent market. And now, after a quiet top nine without a receiver going, here we are. We're just all going all in on the skill positions.
Yep, and speaking of all in, got a lot of that all in action, Dylan, over at BetOnline. Because currently there's no NBA, NHL, or MLB going on. And as we continue to say, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you would continue to be wrong. Because our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. Speaking of all in, they've got their online casinos, the poker, and blackjack, and they are always bringing Vegas to you. So if you're missing the NFL, no problem at all, because now BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. Plus, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, the stock prices, and even the Establish the Pass favorite, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. They're all open 24 hours a day. They're all online. Just use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. That is BetOnline, your online wagering solution. All right, so we've got CeeDee Lamb headed to the Raiders at number 12, and now the pick at number 13 is the Cleveland Browns, who moved back from number 10 in that trade with the Niners. And, Dylan, I think this is pretty obvious. With these three receivers off the board, I think we know where the run is coming now in terms of position, and it's going to start right here with the Browns, probably at number 13.
Yes, absolutely. And, look, as we looked at this, we kind of figured this was going to be the case. The same, all the offensive tackles that are there at 10 are still here. So, I mean, picking up whatever they could, whether it be from the Broncos or the Niners in this scenario, worked out really well for them. I'm definitely thinking of two guys in this spot. I, as much as Wirfs, I believe he probably won't be too long until he's off. I think left tackle is definitely where the Browns are putting their focus. So you got a couple good options, given what the Andrew Brown from Georgia was able to play on. Started at right tackle, played left a lot towards the end of his career there. And he's a guy that just overall, I mean, some of the pancake blocks he sees are like the kind of highlights. You see Quentin Nelson stuff on the NFL currently. So I really did think about him. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to go with maybe not necessarily a safer pick, but they're just going to look at all 364 pounds of Mekhi Becton from Louisville and are going to say, look, we need someone to protect Baker Mayfield. Last year, we got caught on that hype train about all the talent they had on offense, and we're like, look, the offensive line is a problem, but they'll figure it out. They did not figure it out at all, and it was the theme of the year. It was Baker just, as soon as he got the ball, just rolling right almost every single time, expecting pressure from that left side. So I think, Andrew, I don't think they can go really wrong here with Becton or Thomas, but between the two, I mean, Mekhi Becton just maybe in their mind will be a safer selection. Being able to get him at 13 is still a really great value. There's some mocks where the guy's going really high in the top 10. So, I'm going to go with Becton here for the Browns at 13.
Yeah, like the more I think about this, the more I look at our board here, like I don't know why if you're the Browns, let's say it plays out very similar to what we have in the top 9. So let's say, even if it's a different player, let's say the same positions are selected, which, again, the likelihood of that happening probably slim. But let's say it's possible. if you're the Browns, like, I don't know why you don't move down. Like, I mean, I think at that point, knowing that the three teams behind you are all trying to get these receivers, you know, I mean, at that point, I'm like, I'd be making every call I could to say, hey, who wants to come up? The Jets, the Raiders, the Niners, the Broncos, come on up. Like, give us your best deal. Because, again, knowing that they're probably going to get the second best tackle, you know, aside from this. Now, again, I think there is a scenario. Let's say the Giants throw everything off, which would not be the first time the Giants have done that, and took one of these tackles at number four. Then, you know, maybe you're having some things switch around a bit.
Yeah.
If one of those goes as high as four on our board, you know, the first tackle didn't go until number eight. So that could also throw some things off there for the Browns. But, yes, Mekhi Becton, a good pick for the Browns, and one of several offensive linemen here likely in a row. And that brings us to number 14, which – I think, Dylan, I must say, I think a masterful trade on my part for the Cardinals to move back from number eight, because quite frankly, if they had stayed at number eight, I'd be taking the same guy I'm taking right now at number 14. And so there's your incentive if you're the Cardinals and everything plays out this way, because I would be running to, again, not to the stage, I guess to the Microsoft Surface, to make the selection with number 14, and I would run up quickly and select Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle from Iowa, because, and I think it goes back to what we said with the three receivers. Like, I think these, even the four, like, we took one of the wide, we took one of the offensive tackles at number eight, but of any of these four guys, I think you could see them go in any order. And I don't know, like, it's probably just about fit and who winds up, you know, playing on which side of the line or where they need it. But I think Tristan Wirfs could very well, honestly, we talk about the Giants, like even the Giants, yeah. I think could select him at number four. So if he's here at number 14, I think the Cardinals would have to be thrilled, because he's another one of these linemen that you just look at his numbers. You look at kind of how he dominated at Iowa. Again, mostly on the left, mostly at left tackle. We did play some right tackle too. Either way, I think the Cardinals, this is a no-brainer if he's there at 14.
No, like you said, I think they made out well here, because for the Buccaneers going into that, I know we were kind of teasing that trade from the last episode, yep. But we had them trade up to number eight to make sure they got their guy in Jedrick Wills. But they probably would have been pretty happy with how everything else played out after them. They could have probably sat here at 14 and been perfectly happy taking one of the guys available, maybe even Thomas. But, yep. Yeah, Tristan Wirfs for the Cardinals. Yeah, in terms of receiver, you got DeAndre Hopkins now. I don't think they're as worried about trading up into that top three. It just makes a lot of sense with what they want to do with Kyler Murray and being able to help him there. And, you know, they have DJ Humphries in there now. I mean, their offensive line, they're definitely a team trending up, and that whole division, as we've talked about a few times, it's pretty ridiculous. even with the Rams not necessarily being the most inspiring with some of their moves, I still think all four of those teams, you could see a reasonable scenario where any of them gets, you know, at least that seven seed now that is being added to the end of the wild card. So great pick, for the Cardinals. It works out really well for them to get that, get more draft capital, and overall just this rebuild is accelerating faster and faster.
Yeah, there was a rumor, I think, that Kyler Murray was pushing for the Cardinals to potentially reunite him with CeeDee Lamb. I don't think that. I mean, look, you'd love to have in that offense. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury would love to have another receiver, but I just think you got to go in the offensive line category here for them. But we'll see if that's what they wind up doing there in that spot. So another offensive lineman off the board, and that leads us to number 15, which I am not in Dylan's war room, but I am willing to bet that we are going to see another offensive lineman off the board at 15.
Yeah, it's for me at this point for Denver from their point of view. Yes, receiver obviously needs a lot of attention beyond Cortland Sutton, but I you know, with their young quarterback and Drew Lock and what they want to do with him, I think you have a similar point of view in terms of improving their offensive line. It was fine at times, and by all means, not one of the stronger units. So a guy that I've mentioned how just his highlights really stick out. You know, for offensive linemen, a lot of times they don't get a ton of clout for the, you know, the really great play that they have in college. A lot of these guys, if you're watching them week to week, it's you're not noticing them for a good reason, because no one's getting through them. But then you watch someone like Andrew Thomas from Georgia, and he's just destroying people constantly. And I think for Denver, it's at this point with what's available, too easy to not to go in a different direction. I would not think anyone other than Andrew Thomas here. A guy that, again, I from the Browns' point of view almost was going to go with him there. I would have thought of him for a lot of teams even higher up, but now here at 15, I think Denver, despite losing out on the sweepstakes for the number 10 spot and possibly Jeudy or Ruggs, I think they'll be perfectly happy taking Andrew Thomas instead.
Yep, that's what we're saying. I think the Broncos, and they were one of the teams with the Broncos, the Bucks, and the Falcons were teams. I think it was Peter King's or one of the other Monday morning comp. It may have been Albert Bruce. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But one of them, you know, had mentioned that those were three teams specifically that were trying to trade up. So it's just, you know, basically a race to see. We already had the Bucks trade up to eight, so maybe these next two picks here with the Broncos and the Falcons, one of those teams could replace the Niners and maybe potentially move up to that number 10 spot with the Browns, which I think in that scenario, the Browns may still be in a spot where they can get one of these linemen and have a chance to make it work. So there you go. Broncos taking another offensive lineman. So we had three receivers go in a row. We've now had three offensive tackles go in a row. And now I think is where things get interesting because you're going to have a lot more variety probably with the picks beyond the number 15 spot. And that brings us to the number 16 pick, which will be the one we'll wrap up with here on part two of our mock draft, and that is the Atlanta Falcons. We just said they could be one of the teams that are looking to move up. If they did, I would still think that the Falcons would probably be trying to address a need on defense instead of offense.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. And so we'll stick with the Falcons on the defensive side of the ball. Good luck trying to figure out who they could select here because they have a lot of needs on defense. And honestly, of all these teams we've talked about, you know, I feel like we've at least identified maybe two spots for some of these teams saying, okay, we could see them go with this position or that position. I think it's much more wide open with the Falcons because they have several spots on defense that need help. And that's why I'm probably going to go more with, you know, the secondary part of the equation. And I'm going to, for the Falcons, select C.J. Henderson, the quarterback out of Florida. We've seen some mock drafts, and we talked about the Raiders earlier, where the Raiders could be a team. And I think Mel Kiper actually was one of the ones that had it, had the Raiders taking him at number 12. So if he's there at 16, another one of those that feels like pretty much if you're the Falcons, you're running up and saying, okay, we've got to make this pick. But because I don't know, there are options, I think, for the Falcons there that they could go with, you know, Kalyvon Chaisson from LSU. There are other guys around that spot. I don't know if they would go with Xavier McKinney. We talked about that before we started recording. May not at safety. They may still be, you know, okay there. I don't think there's any way that a Derrick Brown slides down to them. You know, Javon Kinlaw potentially. Let's say the Jags traded out of that. Then if you had that domino effect to where maybe no one's in need of a defensive player, he could go to 16. That would maybe be best-case scenario. But either way, I think taking Henderson here just probably makes too much sense for the Falcons.
It's a big blow for me, with the 19th overall pick in the Raiders, because that was definitely who I was thinking of. There's still, a couple top-end safeties that I'm sure will not go too far into our next episode, but the Raiders could look at a 19, but I just felt like the corner position and the potential for C.J. Henderson to be a number one corner. We were talking before the podcast, Matt Miller from Bleacher Report said that there's multiple teams that have Henderson above Akuda as the number one corner on their board. So to get a guy like that this far in, and obviously in a division like the Falcons, which, as you said, they have so many issues on defense, but you're facing Drew Brees and Tom Brady. You're facing Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Michael Thomas. I mean, it's not like CJ is going to be able to handle those guys on his own necessarily, but I think it is an important spot here for the Falcons. It makes a lot of sense with what they've built on the rest of their team. Yeah, safety-wise, can get away with it a bit more maybe. I think there's a premium here, clearly two corners that now have gone off the board that are just on a kind of a different plane on their own. And so, for the Falcons, I think at this point it makes a lot of sense given what they really need to do next year.
Well, there you go. Already ruining draft picks for part three of our mock draft. that is what we do here as we are having our strategy put together. And, then part three is going to start in a very interesting spot because the Dallas Cowboys will be on the board at number 17 when we go to part three of our draft. And as we said, I think Jerry Jones is getting a little antsy. And I don't know that he's going to stay there at number 17, but also don't know what he's going to give up to move up into one of those spots because I don't know that there's anything at 17 where they're just, I don't know. Like, I think that they may be one that moves up to get one of those receivers, but we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. But, Dylan, another part in the books here for our mock draft, and we have a lot of great draft stuff going up over Clutch Points, lots of rumors, lots of all kinds of stuff, just trying to find the right fit for some of these players, let everybody know where they can find everything we have going on.
You can read, all of our draft, all the news, rumor coverage. We've had a lot of content up on historical best picks, worst picks by different teams. So, you can read all that at clutchpoints.com under the NFL section with the NFL tab right there on the top of the homepage. You can also download the Clutch Points app in the NFL section there. All of our written content, our podcast lives there, as well as obviously Apple, all the places you can listen to podcasts. So, excited to do the last couple final parts here. And then we're going to have one more episode, I believe, right before the draft starts. And then we're also planning to have one the night of the after the first round. Yep. We have some reactions that will come out that Friday afterward.
We might do some our biggest predictions or our most confident predictions. We may do five each or something, and that one leading up to the start of the draft. I think that could be fun because we've gone back and forth on some of these, so it may test our knowledge a bit to try to figure out how we're going to predict, and we'll see who maybe is right or wrong. But it's also going to be fun to look back at our mock draft and see where we got things right and where some of our picks just went off the rails because of some of these trades.
Most likely.
I'm telling you, Jerry Jones is going to be the one that throws off our entire board here. But we'll see. Like you said, though, check out all the stuff at Clutch Points. Great stuff going on over there. The draft, NFL, we've also got NBA stuff all over the place. Check all that out, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. That way you don't miss our upcoming episodes here on the draft. And, again, go back, listen to part one if you want our 1-8 picks and a lot more picks on the way here. So thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire and Bet Online for all that they do. And thank you, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Past podcast.